The message this morning is Jesus has all power. And it's going to outline the latter part of Luke chapter 8. Jesus has all power. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you again for your precious word. And Lord, we do thank you that we serve a Savior that has all power. And Lord, may we as your people realize the power that you have, and Lord, that you have saved us miraculously with your awesome, great power. Lord, you spoke things into existence. Nothing was made without the Word. So, Lord, we have your precious Word this morning written before us. So, Lord, may we humble ourselves before your Word and live for you this week. Help us to be witnesses through your power. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus has all power. Now, in this part of Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 22, we see that Jesus and the disciples are in a ship, and there is a great storm that comes on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus was asleep in the ship. And these seasoned fishermen that have spent all this time, if the monitors are on, please turn them off. These seasoned fishermen that was in this ship in this storm came upon the Sea of Galilee. And they became very afraid. Now, they were used to being out on the water. They were used to being out there in all sorts of weather. And yet the Bible says that they became afraid during this storm. And they woke up Jesus and said, "Master, don't you care that we perish in this storm?" And Jesus uses this as a lesson to grow them in the faith. You see, there's three types of people. There's some that are growing in the faith, and like the family of Jesus also was growing in the faith, and he took the time to teach them spiritual lessons. And then there was the crowd who did not care about to grow in faith in Jesus, but he took this time to teach his disciples and ask them about their faith. Because when he spoke to the storm, you know what happened? The waves ceased. The wind stopped. And there was a great calm, it says in the Gospels, about the storm. So Jesus has all power over storms. Now what does that say to you and I? We have storms. You may be in a storm of life right now. You may be wondering like the disciples, where's Jesus at? Doesn't he care? Is he asleep? But I want to tell you this morning, we serve a God who doesn't sleep nor slumber. You see, when Jesus is in your boat, when Jesus is in your boat, you can make it through the storms of life. Is Jesus in your boat? Is Jesus in your boat? Because he has all power over the storms of life. What are storms of life? It could be tragedies. It could be the death of a loved one. It could be a disease. It could be a financial difficulty. All sorts of difficulties in life. And yet Jesus has all power over every one of them. Isn't that good news? So Jesus needs to be in your boat because he has all power. Also in this great chapter of Luke, we see as they crossed over to the other side that there was a demon-possessed man there in the country of the Gadarenes. And this demon-possessed man had such torment that and such powerful demons in his life that they would chain him up And he was so powerful, the demons were so powerful that the chains could not hold him, and he broke the chains constantly. Another sign of demon possession, he couldn't keep his clothes on. And he was naked, the Bible describes him. And he was in the tombs, and he came crying to Jesus, and the demons were saying, What do you have us to do? What do you have to do with us, Jesus? And they began to tear this man, and Jesus sent these powerful demons called Legion, because there was many of them. And he sent those demons into the swine, and the swine ran over the cliff, and they all drowned. And the people of that region, of that coast, came and saw the man whom they were afraid of in his right mind and fully clothed. And yet they saw what happened to the swine. And they became afraid. The crowd became afraid. And they sent Jesus out of their coast. But what does that speak to us? Jesus has all power over demons. All power over demonic influence. You may have demonic influence in your life. What are demonic influences? First of all, anything that keeps you away from Jesus is an idol. And it is a demonic influence. Demonic influence, we saw some of it on the mission study this morning. Demonic influence could be pornography. Demonic influence can be drugs and alcohol, the same thing. We always say them in the same sentence. Demonic influence can be loose relationships. And we can go on and on and on about demonic influence that even we as people of God, as Christians, can be influenced by. But I come here to tell you this morning that Jesus has all power over demonic influence, over demonic activity. And as a child of God, greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. He has all power over demonic activity. But see, Jesus needs to be in your boat. Jesus needs to be in your ship for him, for you to give him the authority and the power over demonic activity in your life. You know what else was in this great chapter? As he was sent out of that region. See, they saw a great miracle and they still sent Jesus out. You see, miracles, that's part of it, but you got to have faith in Jesus. Miracles can't save you. But he left. And the Bible describes this, that a man named Jairus sent for Jesus, came to Jesus and asked Jesus to heal his daughter. She was sick. And there was a great crowd of people, and he was on his way to Jairus' house to heal his daughter. And there was a woman there in that crowd that said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. If I could just touch the hem of his garment. You see, she was an unclean person. She had an issue of blood for 12 years. And according to the Mosaic law, she was unclean. And according to the Mosaic law, you and I, who are sinners, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God, we're unclean. Unless you're in Christ. But by faith, she said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And she made her way through that crowd. And she touched the hem of his garment, and he knew that she had touched him. Matter of fact, he wanted to teach again and said, "Who touched me? I felt virtue leave me." And one of the disciples said, "Master, there's people touching you all over. We're in a big throng of people." Finally, she came forth and said, "I knew that if I could just touch you, I would be made whole." And Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." She was healed physically. But the greatest healing that lady had that day was, he said, "Go in peace." The only way you can go in peace is to be healed by soul and spirit. Amen? That's the only peace you can find. The real peace is in Christ. So see, Jesus has all power over sickness and disease. Yes, he can heal physical sickness. I've seen him do it. I've seen them prolong life, and also seen them take others that found out just in a month or two, and then they go on to be with the Lord. He has power over all sickness. But you know what? The greatest healing that we need to have is that healing of soul and spiritual sickness. What can that be? Our emotions, bitterness, unforgiveness. That those sicknesses of the soul and spirit that will keep us from a right relationship with Jesus and with others. That kind of healing. He said, "Go in peace." There's lives in such turmoil in the house of God because they need a healing of soul and spirit. And when your life is in turmoil, you want to spill it out on others because you just got to get rid of it. And the best person you need to reach out to is the hem of his garment, because he can heal. He has all power over sickness, over physical sickness. He is our great physician. I believe he still touches people and prolongs life, and yet we're all going to die someday. The greatest healing is that deliverance of soul and spirit. As he was going through that crowd, and that lady touched the hem of his garment, and immediately after that, they sent word and said, "Don't bother the master. Don't bother the teacher. The daughter's dead." Jesus went on to the house. Jairus' house. His name meant one who has light, or Jehovah has enlightened. A ruler in the synagogue. He goes on to his house. And they knew that she was dead. Matter of fact, look with me in chapter 8. Verse 53, it says, "And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead." They were already weeping. The family had already brought people to mourn and to weep with them. And Jesus said, "She's not dead, she's only sleepeth." That word sleepeth, only asleep, is a Christian term for death. Why is that? Because our bodies will die. They'll be buried or whatever you do with that body. And yet someday that body is going to resurrect and have a new glorified body. But the girl was dead, asleep. And Jesus goes in, and they even ridiculed him because they knew she was dead. He goes in with the parents and with Peter, James, and John and resurrects her. Brought her back forth from the dead. You see, Jesus has all power over death. Another time in the Gospels, Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus and said, "I am the resurrection and the life." And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And Lazarus already had been dead for days and came forth from that tomb and even had to be unwrapped from the grave clothes. Why? Because Jesus has all power over death. That's good news. You know why? Like I said, we're all going to die unless Jesus comes back. Jesus himself died on the cross for our sins, shed his life's blood. He was buried, and he came forth, and he conquered death. He has all power. In Revelation, he has the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and keys is a symbol of all authority, all power. In Revelation, he is at the right hand of power. We will see Jesus, God tabernacled in the flesh, in the right hand of power, on the right hand of the throne of God means the authority, all power is given to him. He has all power over death. That means two things for you and I. First of all, we're dead spiritually apart from Jesus Christ. You cannot save yourself. You're dead in trespasses and sins. It don't mean if you're good and gooder. You're dead. You need Jesus in your ship because he has all power over death, spiritual death. The Holy Spirit quickens us and we're made alive, new creations. We are born again when our faith and hope and trust is placed in Jesus Christ. You're made whole. This body dies, but the Bible says that your soul and spirit will be present with the Lord. So that's spiritual death. And in Christ, you can be alive. Secondly, these bodies going to die. We don't like to talk about it, don't like to think about it, but we are going to die because of a fallen world, a fallen creation, and because of sin. But the good news is, just like Jesus resurrected those in the gospel, Jairus' daughter Lazarus, and resurrected himself, and we're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, even these bodies will resurrect because he has all power over death. We'll only go to sleep. All power is given to Jesus. All hail the name of Jesus. All hail the power of the name of Jesus. Is Jesus in your ship? Is Jesus in your life? In the storms? In the sicknesses? In death? Any demonic activity or influence that tries to invade you or your family? He has all power. Trust in him. Don't trust in a man. Don't trust in a preacher. Don't trust in anybody but in Jesus. Amen? Because he's the one that has power. The Bible assures us that if you will repent of your sins, He will forgive you. If we will confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How is that? He has all power. Only Jesus can forgive sin. He'll do it. He'll do it. Won't you come this morning? Give your life to Jesus. Child of God, keep trusting in Him. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He may be teaching you a great spiritual lesson, just like He was doing the disciples in that storm. You keep trusting in Him. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank You again for Your precious Word. And Lord, the account that we have of Your earthly ministry, we thank You that we serve a living God, a living Savior who has conquered death. Lord, we need Your power. We can't do nothing on our own. Lord, we're just a social club or just a bunch of friends together doing this or that without You. So Lord, please fill our hearts and lives. Fill our church with Your presence and with Your power. May we tend to eternal things. In Your name, Jesus, amen.